I'm Riley.
And I'm Ronnie.
And this is the Plan to Eat podcast,
where we have conversations about meal planning, food, and wellness to help you answer the question, what's for dinner? Hello, welcome to another episode of the Plan to Eat podcast. Today we are doing a special episode where Riley is going to tell us about a book that she read related to no recipe cooking. We are going to learn a little bit about the book and what recipe, what Riley gleaned from this recipe book.
Yeah. So the title of the recipe book is called New York Times Cooking No Recipe Recipes, which is funny to me that there is a cookbook in print that is a recipe book about not cooking with recipes. But when I saw this book in a bookstore, I got really excited about it because I actually love to cook without a recipe. It feels like a fun and creative thing to do in the kitchen. I like making stuff up. Sometimes there's a downside, which is that I can't recreate it if we really love it. And sometimes the downside is that it wasn't very good. But, you know, just like putting flavors together and using up what we have at home, that feels really great to me. But I understand that can be incredibly intimidating to other people. You know, I asked you even before we recorded, like, does this sound like a scary topic? And I think that for people who are not comfortable in the kitchen, it probably is, because that already feels scary. And then not having a recipe is like another level of intimidation. But the one thing I'll say before we even get started about this recipe book is that it feels a bit more like a guidebook or a textbook. Textbook isn't the right word, but a guide for learning how to cook without recipes. So in the beginning, it talks about what to keep in your pantry or what this author keeps in their pantry. This is by an author named Sam Sifton. And so it kind of guides you through it. And then not every recipe, but a lot of them have a tip about doing it and a modification if you don't have the same ingredients. To give you a little bit more information about the book, it's broken down into breakfast, different kinds of meats, sides, and then every recipe is given a list of ingredients with no amount, a brief set of instructions, and then some serving tips or like maybe a little prep intro about like how this person came up with the recipe. So that's a little bit of my intro to the book.
Who do you think that this book would benefit the most? Like, who do you think was it intended for? Was it intended for these people who find no recipe cooking intimidating, or somebody more like you who already enjoys no recipe cooking?
I would say that I find the book delightful. Like, I even wrote in some notes that I made about it, that might be my new favorite cookbook, because every dish looks so delicious, but it also comes with these great modifications. So like, I can follow this, like this, it's a set of ingredients. It's not even amounts. It doesn't tell me how much to put. So I can really customize it to my flavor preference. There's a ziti dish that has cinnamon in it. And my first thought was, oh, that sounds interesting. And I probably would go light on the cinnamon at first. And if I loved it, I'd go heavier. Or maybe I love cinnamon already and I'm all in with the cinnamon. But it's really up to you to figure out how much of everything goes in. I would say that this recipe book is probably for someone who is moving into their kitchen. Like, they're probably not brand new. They're starting to feel a little bit more comfort in the kitchen. And maybe they're wanting to cook without recipes or wanting to kind of test themselves. Like, can I make a recipe taste good without following someone's strict guidelines? And then I think this book really teaches you how to kind of latch onto your own, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's really teaching you to lean into your own creative abilities. And your own, like, you can make every recipe taste the way you want it to taste, or, you know, spicy or not spicy, sweet or not sweet, like more cinnamon or no cinnamon. You know, you can really lean into what you like and what your family likes. So I really like that you can just modify to your heart's content. But I would say it's probably not for somebody who's brand new to cooking. So if that, hopefully that answers your question in a really rambly way.
Yeah. So then do you feel like that's overall the purpose of this book, is to help people lean into their own like creative desires when it comes to cooking? Or is there a different purpose that you got from reading this?
Do you think I could read you the intro to the book?
Sure.
So Sam Sifton, as an editor at the New York Times, and in particular, as a founding editor of New York Times Cooking, our digital cookbook and cooking site, I spend a lot of time bringing together cooks, reporters, chefs, and critics to lay out strict instructions for how to best prepare specific dishes. These recipes take on a particular form, a list of ingredients and measurements that are followed by step-by-step instructions for how to use them to result in a finished dish. I think of these recipes as sheet music, a form of notation that allows home cooks to recreate the cooking of others, just as a printed chord chart allows Mike from Sheboygan to play the Beatles repertoire in his den passively well. Passingly well. But I just don't cook with recipes, and I am not alone. Indeed, cooking without recipes is a kitchen skill, the same as cutting vegetables into dice or flipping an omelet. It is a proficiency to develop, a way to improve your confidence in the kitchen, and makes the act of cooking fun when it sometimes seems like a chore. So I would say that this person probably wrote this book for people who are pretty comfortable in the kitchen. You know, I think of somebody who's learning how to play the guitar, and like, you're going to need sheet music for a while, unless you are just a savant, right? But so probably not for a novice. So to me, I think that is probably where like what this book is for. I think it's a really creative way to push yourself into being a better cook, a better home cook.
I really like that comparison of comparing it to a musician, because just like you said, when you're first learning to play an instrument, you do need to follow instructions. You need to follow your sheet music so that you can learn different notes and how to play them. But anybody who has ever learned how to play an instrument, then you know, once you know some basic things, you can start creating your own riffs. You know, like you can start like making things up yourself, even if they're like, oh, that didn't really sound that great. It's a really good comparison to then compare that to cooking, to be like, you might initially need to start out making recipes and learning how to weigh things, how to measure things, what this sauce looks like when it's reduced and all that kind of stuff. And then once you get some of those basics down, being like, okay, like maybe I can figure this out. Maybe I can figure out how much of this spice that I want to add or how much salt I need to add. And that's a great comparison. I like that
beautiful.
A lot.
Yeah, it's why I knew I had, when I glanced over it, it's why I knew I had to read it, because it was just so perfectly written. Yeah, just to add on to what you just said, it's like knowing what flavors even taste good together.
Yeah.
Or feeling brave enough to put things together that may not normally go together. Mm-hmm. And just feeling like you can try, because it's no harm in trying. And I think that for a lot of people who are new to the kitchen, that can feel very daunting, because like, what if I ruin it? Instead of feeling like, yeah, but what if it's amazing? And maybe that's a difference of personality and less about like knowing how to do it or not. But I think, I don't know, to me that just, it feels very fun. I very rarely follow a recipe to the T. Because I'll get to the end and I'll be, I'll taste, you know, and oh, this, it needs more salt, or it needs more spice, or this could really use some kind of acid, you know, something like that. And so then I'll just modify it until I serve it. And then I'm like, okay, like I thought it tasted good. So it's like tweaked until I liked it. And so I think that's what I love about a no recipe cookbook, is that that's the whole thing, is that it's literally whatever you want it to be. And there's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. Like, because you made it taste good the way you wanted to. So,
yeah. So in your own personal life, when do you think would you use the recipes or recipe ideas from this cookbook?
So the premise of the book, and I think the author tends to cook with no recipes at all. They have a very well-stocked pantry. They cook from those things that they have at home. You know, in theory, that sounds a little expensive to me. Because I think it sounds like keeping a well-stocked pantry, you know, you start and it's expensive. And then after you started, it's less expensive because you already have all those items on hand. It probably isn't as expensive as I like my initial reaction to it was, of just thinking like, man, I have to overhaul my pantry. I think the point is really to go to your own pantry and look at what you have and be like, what can I make out of this? So to me, it is a supplement to a meal plan. Like, okay, this night is going to be just like a create your own night. Or maybe it's a night when I just need to throw something together because we're running behind and people got to eat around here, you know? Or maybe it's a night when I'm feeling really like, just, I need to be creative, something like that. Using up pantry staples, it's a meal like that. I kind of look at it as like back pocket recipes. Mm. It's kind of like, I've got some broccoli. We have friends over for dinner. What am I going to do with it? Well, I could just like make it a cheesy broccoli. There is a delicious looking cheesy broccoli bacon recipe in this cookbook. And I don't know that I would have thought to do that, because I kind of get into ruts with vegetables. Like, I personally find broccoli is something that has to have a good recipe. And so just kind of like the, instead of roasting it, well, I mean, I roast it, or, but what can I do with it to make it special? Mm-hmm. Or maybe I saute it and I mix in the cheese and the bacon and like, I, you know, it's all like this gooey, delicious side dish. So I think that it's kind of, it's like knowing you have something to fall back on of like, well, I'm not afraid of not having a meal plan tonight, or I'm not afraid of not knowing what to do with something because I can wing it. And this kind of idea of like, let me just make something out of nothing. I really like that. So that's when I'd use it in some of like probably as a supplement to my meal plan, or maybe even when I make my meal plan and I look at what I've got on hand and think, let me, like, I've got black beans and I've got rice. But instead of just kind of some lackluster black beans and rice, there's a delicious recipe in here for this kitchen sink rice and beans. And it's pickled peppers and it's bacon and it's black beans. And it's like all these things mixed together that sound way better than if I was just like, oh, it's black beans and rice, you know? And so that's kind of the format I think when I would use it.
Okay. So in relation to what you were just saying, that you view these as like back pocket recipes, which I really like, but how would you, if this is your preferred style of cooking, why do you need to meal plan, or do you need to meal plan at all? Do you need to use plan to eat if you're somebody who cooks without recipes? What's your feeling on that?
Maybe it's my personality, which is one that certainly loves a plan. To me, it would, I think because of the phase of life I'm in, going to the pantry at 5:30 and being like, what are we going to make? And we just like wing it sounds daunting. And while I am very comfortable with cooking and comfortable in the kitchen and comfortable with like taking a recipe and tweaking it till I like it, that to me does not sound good. That to me sounds like a disaster waiting to happen. But I'm also cooking for other people. If it was just me, I think that'd be a different problem. It'd be different. Since I'm cooking for other people, I think you still need a meal plan because I can look at my pantry items and make a meal out of pantry staples, but plan it. Tonight, we're having something with the lemons, something with the pasta, buy some Parmesan. So then I'm still going to the store and getting at least a supplemental ingredient that would amp it up. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm using what I've got on hand. I'm making a really delicious meal, but I'm making sure that I've got something like, you know, we're not just people that will only eat a pasta dish. Like we definitely want a protein with that pasta here, or we want a green veggie with that pasta. And so maybe like it's taking my meal plan and going 75% of it is pantry staples and 25% of it is things that we need to buy to supplement. So that's kind of how that's how I look at it. I think it's a supplement to a meal plan. I think you'd still need a grocery list. I think you still need to look at your week and figure out what nights can you spend 45 minutes winging it versus a night when you need 10 minutes to wing it, which maybe is that rice and beans night versus some kind of bolognese and ziti, you know, whatever it is. So that's kind of how I'm viewing these recipes. I think, you know, the feeling I'm getting from the book is that it is like every night is just what can we make, which feels very artistic and very on the fly. And there are people out there like that. And by all means, like go for it. I just think I'm much more of a planner. And so that feeling of getting to 5:30 and being like, oh no, what are we making? That would feel too daunting for me in the phase of life that I'm in. So,
yeah, I think one of the great things about making a meal plan is that then you are planning your meals around what your other activities and the things on your schedule are. And so I agree with you that like, while I think this could be good every once in a while, it does seem to me like there's a certain phase of life where this would be really not applicable to. And like potentially in general, when I feel like I have read certain cookbooks, there's a part of me that's like, okay, well, you're a professional chef. So of course, like this makes sense to you and you spend your life devoted to food. So for you, like making things on the fly or, you know, just like putting flavors together is very easy because it's intuitive for you. Whereas if this is a process that you're actively learning how to do, there's an element of it that's like, well, it's going to take me a lot longer to figure out how to make this recipe taste good because I'm going to have to taste it and retaste it and taste it and retaste it after you make every little addition, you know, whereas somebody who has devoted their life to food might only have to make two little tweaks to a recipe, whereas I'm gonna have to make 20 tweaks to my recipe to make it taste good in the end, you know?
Another thought that came to mind about cooking with no recipes is that eventually you will want to log something away.
Yeah.
There's this pizza dish I made for my now husband at the time we were dating. So that was probably 7 or 8 years ago. It was homemade pizza. I know I put pears on it. I know I put prosciutto on it. And beyond that, I cannot tell you what was on it. And it's because I just made it up and it's like, what, this sounded good. And for the last 7 or 8 years, I've regretted that I don't have this as a staple meal in our home, because in my mind, that was the best pizza I've ever had in my life. My husband still talks about it. It was so incredible. And so I think the aspect of something, a tool like Planty and paired with no recipe cooking, is that at some point, even if it's just a list of ingredients, because that's all this cookbook is, it would be lovely to have a list that says pizza dough, olive oil, rosemary, pancetta, pears. Like if that's all it was, I could totally recreate that.
Yeah.
But because I know myself, I probably added a ton of other things and I can't remember. And so at some point, these meals are things I think you're going to want to write down. And so, and I'm really bad about that. That's my artisticness of like, I'm just going to wing it. And, you know, we've talked to like Debbie from Effortless Kitchen. Like she is tedious and meticulous and detailed, and she will make up a recipe and write down every note, every ingredient, every amount. And there's some sort of envy in me because that's not who I am that regrets it when I make something delicious. And I'm like, oh no. How much was it? What was it? How do I recreate it? So anyway, so I think that at some point you're going to want to write them down if you loved it. And so using a tool like Planty to keep it digitally and access it from anywhere, it's really, really helpful.
That feels like a semi drawback of this style of cooking. What do you feel like there are other drawbacks to the no recipe cooking that you could come up with?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Nothing is coming to mind. That's pretty substantial in my opinion. It's not being able to recreate it. I think that my concern over spending more money by buying like somebody else's staples list, I think is a concern I have, particularly about this book. It's because this author does list like an incredibly long list of staples items that they keep in their staples, in their pantry. And I think it would be incredibly expensive to follow this, but also it would be unwise to follow it and buy things that you know you don't like. You know, like I look at this list and anchovies comes up quite a bit and I struggle a bit with anchovies. And so for me to buy anchovies is not wise because I'm going to never use them. I'm going to avoid them. And so I think that there's this element of like, you could spend a ton of money to like try to format your life in this format, in this way of cooking, and then kind of put yourself in a hole of like, oh no, I don't know what to do with this. I don't like oyster sauce or, you know, whatever the ingredient is. Who knows? Like maybe you don't like tomatoes, and canned tomatoes could be a staple of this kind of cooking. So you might get yourself into a bad spot. I mean, I think you can go into it, you know, with wisdom of like, okay, I don't like this and don't buy it. I just think I have some concerns over spending a whole lot more money by doing this, because to me, I'd want to have a very full pantry to go all in with this kind of cooking. Because otherwise you'd end up with kind of some like not as flavorful meals.
Okay. So as somebody who already likes no recipe cooking, what are some of the things you learned, or maybe even just like the number one thing you learned from this book?
Okay, so I've been reading this book, and I recently had family in town, and my sister-in-law, who is an incredible cook, and everything she touches turns to gold. She's just kind of one of those people. And she and I were talking, and she was asking me about the way I cooked something, and you know, she said, "Oh, I didn't even know you could cook it that way." And I thought, if you don't know the right way to cook something, can you be wrong by cooking it in the way that you want to cook it? Hmm. Now maybe some five-star chef, culinary-trained professional is going to say that that is incorrect because certain things need to be cooked a certain way. But I think that it's easy to get stuck in the right way of cooking something and not branching out and finding a way to cook it that you like. And so it's just something that stuck out to me from that conversation and from this cookbook is like, there's a lot of freedom in cooking this way because you can make things however you want to. And if it tastes good, is it wrong? Now, obviously, if it's bad or undercooked or whatever, or if it fails, like you're making a cake and it didn't rise and it failed, then obviously that didn't go well. But for savory food in particular, and not for baking, because that's such a science, like, you know, like a dinner feels more like a creative experience than like baking, where something has to be measured so perfectly. I'm just thinking, I don't know. I think that's what came to mind, is like, if you don't know the right way, can you be wrong? So can you cook things and like be brave and branch out and make things in this unique way? And if it tastes good, you won. You didn't fail. So I think that this book kind of promotes that, of like, just mix stuff together, just put flavors that you like together. And if it turns out great, then you did the right thing. Even if they don't quote unquote go together. I would say probably explore this kind of cooking before you buy a recipe book like this, or maybe buy this book as your intro to this kind of cooking, because there are so many recipes in here that stand out to me that I can't wait to make. There's some black bean tacos. There's several broccoli recipes. There's weeknight fried rice, speedy Sunday gravy with ziti, chicken panzanella, a meat sauce and eggs, kitchen sink rice and beans, which I mentioned earlier. There's so many recipes in here that sound incredible to me that I can't wait to make. So it's probably your, if you want to start cooking or pushing yourself creatively in the kitchen, there's probably a really, honestly, a really great book to buy, because it gives you enough of an outline that it could start to help you feel more confident and like a launching point for doing this more and more on your own.
Yeah. Well, that answers the next question I was going to ask, which is, when would you recommend this book to somebody? So
today, yesterday. yeah, I love the book, and it's got beautiful photographs in it, which make you want to eat everything. So yeah, I was pretty impressed. This book has actually sat on my shelf for quite a while, and it was one of those books I got so excited about when I saw it in the store, looked at it, and then I knew we were going to come back to it on a show. And so when I picked it up and have been looking back through it, I'm like, man, why did I ever put this on the shelf? I should have this out and should make some of these things. So.
Well, I think we should end our episode today with a recipe talk about maybe one of the recipes from that book, if you wanted to highlight one that you are eager to try and want to tell us about.
Yeah, so I've mentioned it twice now. Let me open it up to it. The, what is it? Kitchen sink rice and beans. I can find it in the book. Yeah, there we go. This recipe is rice. Okay, this is just the ingredient list. So this kind of gives you an idea of how the book is formatted. It's rice, bacon, pickled peppers, shallots, garlic, cilantro, cumin, orange juice, canned beans, bread, butter, hot sauce, and lime. I just think it sounds delicious, a delicious way to spice up rice and beans. And rice and beans is something that so many of us have in our pantry, or like just in our, you know, I don't even know why rice and beans pile up. I'm not sure, but they end up in my pantry quite a bit. I think they're things that we eat with things. But this meal is, those are the mains. And so I think that when I first read this recipe, when it adds the pickled peppers into the skillet with the bacon, I was like, I would never have thought to do that. So it's, again, it's one of those like reminders of like, okay, it's putting things together that you wouldn't normally, but that can just sing. And so I'm guessing that like acid of those like pickled banana peppers could be just really delightful. So also I think bacon and rice together is not something I would have thought of. That sounds kind of random. And then, you know, it's all these things that you probably have at home, even the orange juice. I just think about how so many times at our house we'll end up with an inch of orange juice left in the carton because maybe we used it for something, or we wanted it for, you know, like having friends over for brunch or something. And it just doesn't always get consumed all the way. And so just being able to use that last little bit of orange juice in a recipe like this, just sounds really, really good. So I can't wait to make this one. I'll report back on how it turns out.
Yeah. So give me a little rundown of how you combine all of these ingredients together. I'm having a hard time picturing it.
Yeah, sure. So I'll just read the instructions. Make a pot of rice. Chop a few strips of bacon and add to a skillet with, say, pickled peppers. I like banana peppers. Shallots, or sliced shallots, chopped garlic, minced cilantro, ground cumin, salt, and a splash of orange juice. Cook down into a kind of syrup. Tip a can or two of beans with their liquid. I like black beans, but kidney beans would also work. Then mix and allow the flavors to come together at a slow simmer. Toast the bread and butter. Serve the beans over rice with hot sauce and a squeeze of lime, accompanied by buttered toast. Delicious every time.
So it sounds good.
Yeah. So while we're here, I'll actually go ahead and read you the modification for this recipe, because I love that a lot of the recipes comes with a tip or a modification to kind of give you some, here's what you can do if you don't have this ingredient. So the modification. You can replace the bacon with ground pork or sausage and make it without meat, or make it without meat. Use pineapple or mango juice in place of the orange, or no juice at all. You can lose the banana peppers or use jalapenos in place of them. Just load on the hot sauce. Shallots? So fancy. Use an onion instead, or the whites of the scallions from the back of the crisper. Like, it just basically took every ingredient and said, you can replace it with something else.
Yeah.
So I just think that recipe sounds great, but also the modifications make it sound so accessible for whatever you have at home.
Yeah. It sounds yummy. I think you should invite me over when you try it.
I will. Let's do it. Can't wait.
Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you, Riley, for sharing about your book and your learnings. We will also be doing another episode where I teach you about a cookbook that I read. So you can look forward to that in the future as well.
Thanks so much.